south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, so people send me emails saying, Johnny, you're so negative about gringos and expats living on the gringo tourist trail. So today, in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail, I'm going to give you some of the positive benefits. There are some, you know. I mean, come on. I lived on the gringo tourist trail for 2.5 years in Costa Rica. Of course, I couldn't learn my Spanish there because all the Costa Ricans wanted to speak English with me because they want to learn their English. I found out in a hurry they much prefer tips and dollars than over the local funny money, colones. Not to mention I watched every single one of my gringo friends get ripped off there, too. Not just by the locals, though there was a lot of that, but by savvy long-term gringos and expats, even Canadians and Europeans, most of whom who had also been ripped off when they first came down, too. Some more than once. So they know the game, and they're on the lookout for starry-eyed, mostly fresh green gringos looking for their little piece of paradise. On the cheap, of course. Let's just say green gringos, even seasoned gringos, are prime targets for a scam. Especially a real estate scam. And it's true, many clever, frugal gringo investors check their brains at the boarding gate when they travel to a so-called tropical paradise like Panama or Costa Rica. Even though the investment opportunity heydays of these so-called tropical paradise have been over for years, sometimes decades, but still you've got rags promoting them, like Condé Nast, the Overseas Retirement Letter, AARP, and of course International Living. You name the retirement rag or blog, and they never quit talking about Costa Rica, Panama, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and now Colombia. And I'm forever seeing articles with the scary title, Which Country Will Be the Next Costa Rica? At least it's scary to me. And believe me, whatever the flavor of the month happens to be it Nicaragua, Colombia, Chile, Uruguay, I'll be staying far, far away from those places. That is, except when airlines and hotels put together packages and offer great deals on short-term beach vacations. Though I don't much recommend gringos live in those countries permanently or part-time even, unless you have tons of dough and you just have to be around gringos all the time. However, I do recommend short weekend and week-long trips as sun and fun destinations. And if you do so, here's a big tip. Try to buy one of those all-inclusive hotel destination packages. In the end, it could save you thousands. At least then you'll have a good idea what your budget's going to be. If not, be prepared to be whipsawed by extreme gringo pricing. And be prepared to be treated indifferently at best by the locals if you don't tip first world style. But wait a minute, this was supposed to be about the advantages of living on the gringo tourist trail, right? Sorry about that. Okay, number one, in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail, it's a very soft landing if you're really worried about all the things you hear and see up in the first world media about the third world. Because you see, if your destination is on the gringo tourist trail, as soon as you land, you'll be absolutely astounded as to how first world the place really is. No truckloads of snarling military guys with AK-47s on every corner. No broken-down, scruffy airport facilities that make you long for that budgetel back in Cleveland. No stray bullets flying or bombs bursting or narcos shooting it out with federales in front of the airport. Meaning if you land at one of those airports on the gringo tourist trail, it is a good prescription for the timid and overcautious traveler just coming down to test the waters to see if they can handle what they believe will be extreme third-world chaos. In fact, I always do recommend that fresh, green gringos who've never been to Latin America before check out some of the tourist spots like Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Costa Rica, Panama, Ecuador, even the big cities in Colombia, just so that you can firmly get it into your mind and your system with boots on the ground once and for all, that not all of Latin America consists of that scruffy, chaotic, crisis-ridden, dangerous third world you see in Hollywood movies, 60 Minutes, and nightly TV news reports. Of course, there are places just like that down here in Latin America. Venezuela, to name one, for sure. But that's why you listen to this program, The Expat Files, living in Latin America, so you can avoid those places and keep far, far away. Just like sane people up in the States avoid Harlem, East LA, Detroit, most of St. Louis, three quarters of Washington, D.C., half of Atlanta, a quarter of Cleveland, half of the Chicagoland area, too. And on and on. Too bad there isn't a companion show called The Illegal Alien Files, living in Big Brother Land. Now, there's an idea. Who knows? Could go viral. Certainly with the millions and millions of illegal alien wannabes in Latin America, but then we'd have to do it in Spanish, right? Isn't that just the way life goes? So many great ideas and never enough time to act on 1/10 of them. Anyway, here's another point in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. You won't ever have to struggle with learning another language, since there'll be so many gringos around and all the locals will be boning up on their English by trying it out on you. By the way, that's a very good clue that you are definitely on the tourist trail. That's especially true when the porters and the taxi drivers at the airport can all speak English. Another sure sign you're definitely on the gringo tourist trail is when you're driving from the airport through town to your hotel. If you see a lot of signs in English, well, you're there. Now for reason number 3 in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. When, not if, you get pulled over by the cops for any reason at all, you'll find out exactly how much the bribe's going to be because they'll tell you in English. Nope, there's no getting away with the Clueless Gringo Act that works so well when you're off the trail. When on the trail, the cops will know enough English to hit you up for a bribe, and it will be in dollars, so you won't have to carry any funny money around with you. In fact, to make that transaction easier on you, because you might not have a good mental grasp of funny money to dollar conversion rates, they may just insist on dollars. So do have 50, 100, or even 200 bucks in cash stashed somewhere on you or in your wallet, because unlike paying a cop a mordida or bribe in a place like San Pedro Sula, Honduras, well off the gringo tourist trail, where 10 or 20 bucks in the local funny money will suffice, note, when on the gringo tourist trail, cops will insist on Franklin's, not Jackson's. Okay, now, reason number 4 in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. You won't have to mingle socially or hang with any of the locals. You can avoid that prospect completely. It's easy. Why? Because there'll be so many gringos and expats around, and so many common first world activities involving gringos that you'll almost never meet any local Latin people socially. Only your maids and your gardeners, retail clerks, bank tellers, shoeshine boys and such. You'll most certainly be living in a subdivision or gated community with a ton of other gringos. And as for Latin people, even those in your own socioeconomic bracket, you'll generally find when on the gringo tourist trail that they live in subdivisions and gated communities with other Latin families of their class and caliber. Sure, you'll run into them here and there when you're shopping and when you have to deal with your lawyer, accountant, doctors, and other professionals and such. But note that though they derive a large percentage of their income from gringos who've been flooding in most cases they prefer to live in their own neighborhoods. And though, as said before, in highly gringoized areas, the local Latins put on a happy face, they recognize their own local culture and their way of life has been permanently distorted by just too many damn gringos. Not to mention every time a place gets popular with gringos, the cost of living rises dramatically, and who does that affect the most? The Latins, of course. So, when on the gringo tourist trail, don't tell me that behind all those happy Latin faces, there isn't a touch of resentment. The fact is, when you're on the gringo tourist trail and you sit down with long-term expats living there, when you get down to brass tacks and opinions, you'll hear things like this. They'll tell you the locals want what we have, but no, they can't get it. Unless by luck or if a scam or a con is involved. Which is why there seems to be little concern and zero sympathy within the local Latin community when gringos get ripped off and scammed. I understand Spanish. I know what they're saying. Crazy gringo. Gringo loco. Stupid gringo. Gringo estúpido. But they never say it with sympathy. They don't say poor gringo. Gringo pobre. They say gringo estúpido or gringo idiota. However, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, there is concern and sympathy in their voices. You don't hear gringo estúpido or gringo idiota, though you will hear gringo loco, crazy gringo, because, well, we're considered crazy in all Latin countries. But off the tourist trail, we're crazy in a nice way. You get the picture. Bottom line, don't expect to be invited to a Christmas dinner or quinceañero party anytime soon. Off the tourist trail, yes. On the tourist trail, not likely. Unless you're trying really hard to make Latin friends. It's like this. When it comes to upscale Latins on the gringo tourist trail, think of that 1970s era song by the OJs, The Backstabbers. I know I'm dating myself, but you might know the lyrics. They smile in your face all the time they want to take your place. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't occur off the gringo tourist trail too, but there are just so few of us gringos around that we're kind of a novelty. Like, for example, when I went to an all-white grade school back in Chicago. The very first Mexican kid that went to our school, well, he was a novelty. Everyone warmed up to him, wanted to be his friend, invited him everywhere. But then, after a few years and a couple of dozen more Mexican families, the initial excitement and novelty simmered down. Man, did it simmer down. That's human nature, I guess. So again, when on the Gringo Tourist Trail, you'll probably never have to interact socially with local Latins. But then again, that's perfectly fine with most gringos on the tourist trail because that's the way they like it. Now, I don't get not wanting to understand and blend in with the culture, but that's just me. The fact is, the vast majority of gringos you meet on the tourist trail want to create their own little version of Cleveland in a Latin country. Which, come to think of it, is exactly what illegal Latin immigrants do in the States, don't they? They create their own little version of back home. Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, or San Salvador in some gringo city. Even more ironic, they don't want to learn the language, they don't want to mingle with the locals, and they don't want to know or absorb the local culture. Isn't that strange? That's just like most all gringos living on the tourist trail. Okay, here's reason number five in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. There'll be dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of transplanted clubs and organizations that you can join to make you feel like you're right back at home in Seattle or Cucamonga or Cleveland. Isn't that nice? You'll find the Rotary Club, the Sierra Club, the Humane Society, the Society for Disabled Veterans, the Red Cross, AA, even Neurotics Anonymous. Thinking about joining that one myself. They've got AARP and Amnesty International. Even, get this, that disgusting thieving organization, the United Way. And last but not least, of course, my personal favorite, Republicrats Abroad. And how do I feel about that? Well, I can only hope that Montezuma takes out his revenge on those lunatic members frequently. Oh, and by the way, if you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, you're never hurting for gringo bars. And U.S.-style sports bars, and therefore, no shortage of drinking buddies. And reason number six, in defense of living on the Gringo Tourist Trail, you'll never have to change to the local funny money. They'll take gringo dollars practically everywhere. And by the way, here's an important tip. When you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, locals will accept mutilated, torn, and disfigured U.S. money. Even the occasional artistically modified Lincoln with a penis for a nose. Whereas, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, gringo funny money will rarely be accepted in any condition. With the exception of Ecuador and El Salvador, two countries off the tourist trail that use U.S. dollars as their currency. Okay, now for number seven in defense of living on the Gringo Tourist Trail. You'll certainly be able to find almost every known gringo product and franchise. Yep, it's true. You'll be able to get any pre-digested, high-fructose corn syrup saturated, antibiotically laced, chemically enhanced, GMO-fortified synthetic food product your liver can tolerate. Whoa, don't ask me to say that again. However, that would not be true when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail. Case in point, I've been asked by more than one of my previous seminar attendees, where can I get some Diet Mountain Dew? In fact, one attendee who'd lost 100 pounds in 6 months on a very, very naturalistic diet said his only vice was Diet Mountain Dew. And after a few days at the seminar, he was having the Mountain Dew DTs. And you know what? I couldn't help him. I'd never seen it on the shelves off the tourist trail, and I've never seen regular Mountain Dew either. Yahoo, Mountain Dew. Okay, now, reason number eight in defense of living on the Gringo Tourist Trail, and that would be, if you bring your kids down, they'll be able to go to schools that are completely 100% Americanized with practically no Latin students at all. Just other snotty-ass little gringo kids. And of course, most all of the teachers will be gringos too, so your child can enjoy all the first world doublespeak benefits of a U.S. public school Common Core education as endorsed by Hillary, with almost no local Latin cultural influence at all. Okay then, reason number five in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. You'll be able to get all the latest and greatest first world pharmaceutical products, just like if you were living back up in Cleveland or Atlanta. Are you on the latest and greatest calcium channel blocking blood pressure medication? Do you need a specific handful of psychotropic antidepressant medications just to be able to log on to Facebook or press a button on your TV remote? If you're on the gringo tourist trail, you're in luck. Latin doctors are all clued in. They know just what drugs and medicines a gringo needs to get him through the day, including every first world gringo vaccine known to man, too. Now for some proof. Here's an article from the biggest Costa Rican newspaper from January 11th of this year. It says, and I'll translate, the Costa Rican Social Security Department has announced it will buy an additional 1 million influenza vaccines for 2016 aimed at minor children, the elderly, healthcare professionals, and to supply demand in, get this, the tourism segment and the expat population. In a statement just issued by the President of the Republic, it says, the National Commission on Vaccination and Epidemiology, that's CNVE, coordinated by the Costa Rican Ministry of Health, reports that the amount of vaccines purchased have been ever increasing since the seasonal influenza vaccination program started in 2003. And how's this for the kicker? It says, following the lead of first world countries like the United States, the government announced that in 2016, construction will start on a production facility to produce millions of doses of vaccines, including the seasonal flu vaccine. Now, here's the real strange part. Get this. The vaccination production plant will be financed with $14 million provided by, guess who? Russia. Yes, Russia. Will somebody please tell me what that's all about? I can think of a lot of scenarios there, and none of them are good. Okay, now we have number nine, I think it's number nine anyway, in defense of living on the gringo tourist trail. If you do, rest assured that you won't have to waste any time thinking about how you're going to start a business down there because it'll be almost impossible to do so successfully. Why? Because anything you can think of has already landed down there. That means if you have a so-called great idea, your competition will be gringos, meaning you'll be up against people who've been there a while and who know the system. Rest assured, you'll be no farther ahead trying to start a business on the tourist trail than you would be trying to make a go of a business up in the States. Meaning, if you want to live on the gringo tourist trail, you're best to just look at it as a pleasant tropical retirement plan. Nope, nothing wrong with that. It's the perfect life for someone who's got a nice outside retirement income stream, who might be into water sports or crazy about golfing, tennis, gardening, painting, maybe writing, or just sitting around in a hammock by the pool, sucking down tropical drinks with little umbrellas in them. But again, if you're going to live on the gringo tourist trail, don't get the big idea you're going to come down and start a kick-ass business. You might give it a try. A lot of people have. But the reality is, the majority just chug along giving the gringo something to do and a tiny bit of extra income. Meaning, you'll most likely need a supplemental income from the outside or a hefty nest egg to tide you over. So don't get your hopes up. Don't clutter your mind up about it. Now, that previous info is in regards to starting up a brick-and-mortar business. However, that's not to say you couldn't have a very fulfilling and profitable internet business. You can do that anywhere. Okay, now for reason number 10, in defense of gringos living on the tourist trail. Note that it won't take long to make a lot of friends, gringo friends. And note, if you're a born risk taker, which you probably are to some degree if you come down here to live, either on or off the gringo tourist trail, you will be spotted as a fresh green gringo right away, that's obvious, and you will be approached by, quote, businessmen and real estate people, of course, and people with so-called surefire investments and business ideas. Chances are your own new gringo friends and neighbors and even your new Latin lawyer will try to get you involved in, quote, surefire investments with the promise of fantastic returns. Yep, I've seen it happen 100 times. A starry-eyed, fresh gringo swimming with the sharks on the gringo tourist trail. So you have to look out for both gringos and fast-talking, English-speaking Latins. And especially look out for those too-good-to-be-true real estate deals. Oh, and do look out for those Latins who want to partner up with you. And it usually works like this. All you have to do, gringo, is put up the dough. And your new Latin partner, he'll do the groundwork, the legal work, the contracts, the permits and stuff. And he'll always have some inside information or a relative that's connected in the government. And he might even introduce you to the guy in a bar over a couple of drinks. And of course, by now, you're pretty excited about the deal, so you'll pick up the tab for that, too. And yes, it's true, the dough will flow from your hands into his. Need some examples? I got a million of them. Like I said, every single gringo expat I know that ended up on the gringo tourist trail eventually got ripped off. Most often, in this order, by number one, your brand new friend and gringo partner. Number two, your new slick English-speaking Latin partner, often in conjunction with number three, either your new lawyer or your new business partner's lawyer. So again, if you're a gambler and a risk-taker and you like very long odds, you really could be right at home on the gringo tourist trail. And again, here's another tip I'm sure I gave you a long time ago, but it's worth repeating. If some Latin person or a gringo approaches you and all you have to do in the business venture is to put some money up, a red flag should go up and the question should be, if he's such a great businessman and it's such a great opportunity, how come he's begging other people for money? And why isn't he putting up any of his own money or some kind of collateral like a car, a house, or have some skin in the game? Again, if it's such a great idea, why are you that supremely lucky guy he's approaching with that once-in-a-lifetime deal? A guy he barely knows. You just met him, remember? Chances are he's probably hit up a dozen other gringos before you, and they just didn't bite or didn't have the money to get in. Okay, there you have it. In defense of gringos living on the tourist trail. Okay, now let's talk about Colombia, a place that many expat rags and blogs are saying is poised to become the next Costa Rica. But then again, that's what they've been saying for the past 5 years about Nicaragua, Panama, and Ecuador. So then who's full of BS and who's not? Well, let me read you some excerpts from a recent article explaining what's happening in Colombia right now for all you listeners up there who think it might be the investment opportunity or living opportunity of a lifetime. Okay, here goes. And this article came out on December 17th. It starts out by saying, Colombians are reacting joyfully to the news of the fall of Chavismo in neighboring Venezuela. Almost everyone in Colombia is well aware that the socialists in Venezuela have done the impossible. They've wrecked the economy of one of the top five oil producers in the world. Then the article goes on to say, however, Colombians themselves are not scrutinizing their own monumental economic failures. In fact, their economy is on the road to becoming a basket case just like Venezuela. Fact number one, the Colombian peso has become the world's most devalued currency over the last 18 months, losing at least 70% of its value against the dollar in that time. So people are asking, why did that happen? What people don't know is that Colombia itself has an oil industry. And before the big oil bust this year, Colombians invested heavily in their own oil businesses. So when oil prices recently fell, the dollar became strong and the peso began to dive. What outsiders don't realize is that Ecopetrol, the majority state-owned oil company, makes up roughly half of the entire Colombian stock market. So when oil fell, so tumbled the Colombian stock market, dragging down the peso along with it. Then, to further complicate matters, Colombia, being a newcomer to the world of large-scale oil exports, as it turns out, because it's owned and operated by the government, it's a model of waste and inefficiency. Surprise, surprise, huh? Then it goes on to say, just over a year ago, when oil was over $100 a barrel, Colombian state oil producers were making money hand over fist. But now that oil is well under $50 a barrel, the oil industry has some staggering problems on its hands. Due to the country's geological conditions, extracting oil in Colombia is far more expensive than in adjacent countries like Venezuela. What's worse, companies are forced to pay bribes to guerrilla and paramilitary groups in order to transport petroleum across the country by road. It says, In Colombia, anyone who transports products over large distances within the country must pay highwaymen who set up roadblocks, which adds up to the world's highest transportation costs within a single nation. And why imported products like electronics are so expensive in Colombia. Anything that has to be shipped by truck over the road incurs heavy transportation costs. Then it goes on to say, nonetheless, investment in any business in Colombia is bound to remain low as long as the government continues to maintain some of the highest taxes in the world. Currently, Colombian companies must hand over 70% of their commercial profits in taxes to the Colombian government. According to the World Bank, only five countries in the world, Tajikistan, Comoros, Eritrea, Bolivia, and Argentina, charge higher rates than Colombia. Each of those five countries, by the way, are now experiencing terrible economic conditions. Worse yet, it's expected that President Juan Manuel Santos' government will raise VAT taxes even more next year, saying that these new tax increases are meant to cover the government's fiscal and current account deficits and to finance the hefty price of a looming peace agreement with the FARC guerrilla movement. In other words, he's proposing to pay off the guerrillas. With taxpayer money, of course. But it gets worse. The article says Colombia's statist rituals darken the economy's prospects even further, since trade unions and the government annually negotiate the next year's raise in minimum wage, which is now considered by many experts to be non-competitive because it's the highest in South America. As a result of these problems and proposed new taxes, foreign investors are being scared off in every sector except, get this, real estate. Then finally, it says, economic analysts are saying the Colombian Central Bank is nothing more than a joke, too. After underestimating the national inflation figures for 2015 by 100%. Doesn't that sound familiar? Oops, we're getting near the end. Just want to remind you to go to my YouTube channel. Just put in Expat Files or the Expat Files and check out the slideshow that goes along with the audio. And do subscribe. It's free. Oh, and don't forget John Galt's famous web and blog site, www.thenewexpat.com, where you'll find me and some of my stuff too, along with other blogs and articles of great interest.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.